of you young people, I'd like to talk to you for just a few minutes tonight about a very well-known character in the Bible. And we read about him, as far as I know, three times in the Word of God. The first time is in Genesis chapter 5. Notice in Genesis chapter 5 and the 17th verse, it says, all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And the 20th verse, and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, the reason I read, dear young people, the few preceding verses before I read about Enoch was that if you were to take the time to go back in this chapter, you would find that Enoch's grandfather lived to be about 900 years old. Enoch's father lived to be about 900 years old. And here was Enoch, and he was walking in a world that was filled with corruption and violence. Two things that characterized his world, corruption and violence. And Enoch, it tells us here, he walked with God. Now, beloved young people, what was possible for Enoch in the world in which he lived, with all the trouble, all the corruption, all the violence that he had to contend with, is also possible for you and for me. We too, through wondrous grace, have the privilege of walking with God in a world full of corruption and violence. But the thing that has struck me in meditating a little bit on this portion is that Enoch walked with God, and at a moment he was gone. He had been translated to glory. He was gone from this world. But you know, dear young people, if he had gone by precedent, if Enoch had gone by precedent, he could very well have said to himself, this world is a terrible place, and I've got 500 more years of this to go through. I'm here, I'm just only 365 years old, and my father lived to be 900. But Enoch walked with God, and in a moment he was gone. He had gone to glory. And in the language of Scripture, he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Oh, what a privilege to be taken by God, taken to glory. Now, dear young people, this is what you and I look for. We look for the moment, at any moment, when we're going to be called away and taken to glory. If you belong to Christ, that future is guaranteed to you. You're going to be called away to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. But what about the other part? The walking with God. You know, in the book of Amos, I think it's the third chapter if I remember rightly, there's a little verse there that says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And you know, dear young people, if you and I are going to walk with God, then it's necessary that we conform to him. He's not going to conform to us. He delights. Oh, to me, it's a miracle of grace. God delights to have your company. He delights to have you walk with him. And you don't have to talk about what a terrible world it is. If you could consult with Enoch, he could tell you he knew all about what it was to live in a terrible world. But, beloved young people, God wants your company. He wants you to walk with him. And he'll provide the grace, and he'll provide the strength. He'll provide what's needed. Do you desire that? Is that what your heart longs for? To know what it is here, in this world, to walk with God. Now, would you turn over, because there's a sort of a progression in the comments that we find in the Word of God in connection with Enoch. you'll turn over to the 11th chapter of Hebrews for a moment. The 11th chapter of Hebrews and the 5th verse. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. You know, dear young people, many of us would like to have a reputation. We would like to have the reputation that our ways were pleasing to God. We'd like to have the reputation where our brethren might say, oh yes, I know Mary, I know Joe, I know John, I know them, and oh, their ways are pleasing to God. They're a real help in the little assembly here where they are. They're an encouragement to their brethren. But oh, beloved young people, what comes first is walking with God. You and I must walk with God first before we're going to have the testimony that we please God. Wouldn't it be a privilege to be able to, in this world, have that kind of testimony? You know, if you'll pardon me telling a little story, just recently I was visiting a lady many, many thousands of miles away from here, a comparatively young lady who is very seriously ill with a dreadful disease of cancer. And this dear lady, when I went to see her, I went with the purpose, I trust before the Lord, I went with the purpose of seeking to be an encouragement and a help to her. Well, I tell you, dear brethren, dear young people, she wasn't the one who got the help and the encouragement. Because when I got in to see her, I found out that she had been a supervisor of nurses in a hospital for a number of years. And that while she was there in that position as a supervisor of nurses, she had had many occasions in that hospital to speak to patients, to speak to other nurses, and to speak to the relatives of patients about the Lord Jesus, and about the comfort and the consolation that comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior when death is imminent. Well, when she was not feeling very well about a year and a half ago, she went to the doctor, and the doctor told her that she only had a limited time to live, that her life could not last much longer, though they would treat her and try to extend it the best they could. And you know, dear young people, the comments of some of the people in the hospital were this. They said, now we're going to find out if she really meant what she said. Well, dear young people, I can tell you tonight, she meant what she said. She meant every word of it. She has found that there is a joy that only the child of God can know as a result of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that isn't changed when circumstances change. We find with Enoch that he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Oh, dear young people, is that the testimony that you and I have? It comes from walking with God. It comes from seeking to be in his company, and as a result being exercised that our ways might conform to the one in whose company we seek to walk. And then from that will flow out the testimony that you please God. Not please your neighbor, not try to have a reputation in the world, but content to please God. Now why? Why is it, dear young people, that we would want to please God? Oh, hasn't he paid such a price that we might be his? Hasn't he redeemed us at such a cost? Isn't that enough to win your heart and mind that we might seek to please him? But for how long? Oh, you say, I was told today, a young lady mentioned to me about the exercises and concerns of her son, and she said he was having a hard time at school and finding it difficult to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus in the school where he was. But oh, dear young people, how long? How long did Enoch have to go on? In a moment he was gone. It came to that time when it was all over and he was gone. Gone to glory. Beloved young people, that's what's before us. How long do we have to walk with God? How long do you have to please God? A day, an hour, a week, whatever the time is, it's but a little while, and then we'll be gone. Now, if you turn over to one other verse in the book of Jude, and the 14th verse. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Dear young people, how often we talk about the coming of the Lord. We find here Enoch prophesied that the Lord was going to judge the world, that the Lord was coming with 10,000s of his saints and he was going to judge the world. You know, dear young people, how often have you and I talked together? How often have you spoken to the other young people? How often have you heard it said in the meeting, this world is all under judgment? I had a dear old brother say to me just the other day, he said, remember, brother, you can write right across everything in this world, reserved unto fire. Now, we talk about this. We talk about the coming of the Lord. We acknowledge that this whole world is going to pass away. We acknowledge that the Lord Jesus is going to judge the world in righteousness. We acknowledge that there's nothing here that has any lasting value. It's all going to be burned up. Well, Enoch prophesied too. He talked too about the fact that the Lord Jesus was coming with 10,000s of his saints, that he was going to judge the ungodly. But oh, beloved young people, what has searched my heart in meditating upon this was the fact that Enoch walked conformed with what he said. Anyone watching Enoch could see that his walk reflected that he acknowledged that the world was going to have to answer to God, that the Lord was coming with 10,000s of his saints. Now, dear young people, is that true of you and me? Are our ways, is our conversation, is our ambition, is what we're seeking after and seeking to spend our time and energy to get, does it agree with what we speak of when we talk about the coming of the Lord? We talk about the imminence of his coming. We read about Enoch and we say, isn't that marvelous? Enoch was gone, just walking one day and he was gone. And then we say, that's going to happen to us someday. Someday. Beloved young people, is it affecting what I'm doing today? Is it affecting my plan for tomorrow? The fact that the Lord Jesus is coming? Oh, beloved young people, it should. It should have a paramount effect. It should be have a monumental effect upon my life that the Lord Jesus is coming, that I talk about it. But before I talk about it, I have the testimony that I please God. And before I have that testimony, that I walk with God. Is that true? God would have it so. He longs for your company. He's redeemed you. He's made you his own, and he longs to have your company now. He's going to have it in glory. The Lord Jesus is going to have your company there, but he wants it now. Now would you turn over with me for just a moment? I would like to read a few verses in Ezekiel chapter 12. Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 21. Can you all find Ezekiel? I remember our brother Willie Martin, but some of the older ones here will remember. I don't imagine any of the younger ones would. And he said to me one time, he said, I read the book of Ezekiel. He said, I never would want to get home to glory and meet Ezekiel and have to tell him I never read his book. Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 21. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, The days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, The vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, There shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. Dear young people, I submit to you that these are words for today. This is not the time to say, you're talking about something that's going to be prolonged. This isn't the time to say, the brethren have been talking for years about the Lord's coming and it hasn't come yet. That's in effect what they were saying to Ezekiel. And the Lord said, you tell them, the days are at hand. And then there were others that were saying, oh yes, I know that that's all true, Ezekiel, but you're looking at something that's a way off in the future. The Lord says, no, you tell them it's now. It's now. It's in your days. And beloved young people, I submit to you with all my heart, this is for our days. This is our days. These are the days when we're going to see the coming of the Lord. And then only what's done for Christ is going to have any lasting value. Only one life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. Dear young people, does your heart, does my heart say, I believe all that, but that's for a day afar off? No, dear young people, it's for now. It's for now. It's for today. May you and I be given the grace to walk with God. How he loves you and longs for your company, that you might have the testimony that you please God, and then the witness that you're looking for his coming will be reflected in the testimony, in the walk with God. And may your heart and mind never say, it's for a day afar off. God said, the day is at hand.